I anticipated that today would be kind of more of a worship day. I asked the Lord to give me something short, but important. Name of the message is A Clean Slate. Tabula rasa. Tabula rasa is the, you know, it's in the history books. A clean tablet so that it can write on it. I looked up common synonyms of a second chance. They include the following: another opportunity, another shot, second try, the one that I chose, a clean slate, a fresh start. This is the weekend of the Masters Tournament in Augusta. My son's there. Ian is there. In the world of golf, this is no greater tournament than this tournament. They call it the green jacket. If you win, you get to wear the green jacket. You get to have it forever. Well, when you play golf, you can grant somebody a second chance. You know what it's called? A mulligan. It's another chance to do the shot over, and it won't count against you. Okay? Well, the Apostle Peter, the resurrection / first fruits, because they were both on the same day, was an epic difference maker. That's what I like to talk about. In scanning the literature on second chances, the following thoughts, alternative descriptions emerge. Number one is another chance, one more chance. Number two is a do-over, implying a chance to correct the mistake or restart its task. Number three, redemption or a clear slate, which emphasizes a transformative journey or a fresh beginning. And four, it's a retrial, also called a rebirth. Now this is just Merriam-Webster and others. These are not believers. It's often used for personal or significant life restart. For sure. For the Apostle Peter, the day of resurrection, the day of first fruits, was a rebirth, a clean slate. If you're not familiar with the fact that I'm saying that the day of the resurrection was also the day of first fruits, I put in the written message, which is available on the website, as PDF, the same thing that I'm reading here. I put a synopsis. I spent enough time the other day doing that, probably too much time. On this particular version, I wrote the Hebrew. I wrote the Hebrew of verse 11. Okay? So it's there, so you can see it. And I turned red the portion that has the word HaShabbat. In verse 11, it says HaShabbat. We don't need a helper to understand that word. Ha means the on the Shabbat. What does that mean? Children of Israel shall keep Shabbat, to observe Shabbat throughout all their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel that in 6 days Adonai made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Does that mean any other day of the week? Does that mean any other day? There's only one day that has a name. All other days don't. The only day that has a name in Scripture is Shabbat. From the beginning in the Bible, the word Shabbat means Shabbat. What else does it mean? Shabbat. Is there anything extra? Shabbat. Do you not get it? I mean, talking to me. Not talking to you. You're the saints. You get it. Shabbat. Shabbat means Shabbat. Means the day he set apart. You can call other days Shabbat if you want to. That's you. You can call any day you want to Shabbat. Some people can call Sunday any day of the week. They tell me, you can worship God any day of the week. So that you don't have to do anything special about Shabbat. When I first came here, Publix was closed on Sundays. When I came to the University of Florida in 1967, the Publix on 34th Street, okay, and University Avenue was closed. What happens if you didn't go buy something? Wait till tomorrow. I guess you could go to a Minute Market and overpay. But I didn't have any money, so I couldn't overpay. The little blurb here is in the middle. I put it in smaller print, so it set it apart from a previous message of mine from 4:25:20. And I write down the translations of the Hebrew. And in the translations of the Hebrew, you find that all of them say Shabbat, except one. Which one? The Modern Jewish Publication Society, the Modern Chabad. They don't use the word Shabbat. They use the day after Passover, which men have called Shabbat, but God never did. So you decide. I've already decided. This day of first fruits and resurrection was an epic difference maker for the Apostle Peter. It was the start of a clean slate, because 3 days earlier, after the Passover, after Yeshua went and prayed and asked them, would you not watch with me? Yeshua's keeping a watch. Can you watch with me and pray for another hour? And he went twice, and the third time he didn't go. Just go ahead and sleep. Okay? This is what happened. It's in John 13:37. They come to get him, and Peter says, Master, I will lay my life for you. We tend to say that a lot. Oh, Lord, I'll do anything you ask me to. Okay? I'll do anything you ask me to do. And then he asks us and go, oh, Lord, that wasn't what I had in mind. I used to sing a song. I don't sing it anymore. I'll trade sunshine for rain. I'll trade this for that. I'll do anything you ask me to do. I'm willing to do anything. And then the song goes on and lists some things. I used to sing it in Ocala, 25th Avenue. I used to lead it and play it for someone who sang it better than me. Some years ago, the Lord through Marilyn and convicted her and convicted me. You better not say something you are not prepared to do. So if you're going to trade sunshine for rain, etc., etc., then you better mean it, or don't sing that song to him. So I got a little wise and said, I better think about what I say that I'm going willing to do. I'd be willing to do anything, basically what the song's about. I won't bore you trying to sing it. I can sing it though. But here's what happened. Let me read the rest of this little portion. John 13:37. Yeshua answered him, "Would you lay down your life for me?" Question mark. Peter said, "I lay down my life for you." Lord, he was willing to do anything. Okay? And so Yeshua brings reality into the situation. He says, "Amen, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times." Which is like a rude awakening. Not R-O-O-D, R-U-D-E. Because we keep reading, and indeed, Peter went on to deny Yeshua 3 times. But he didn't do it in a nice way. He did it, and he made a spectacle of himself. Let's read. This is now in Luke, chapter 22, verses 60 through 62. I think John's trying to put it up there for you. But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Okay? And he's telling some... Okay, so let me... Can I be a little real here? He's telling some chick that's being a real pain in the butt, saying, "I saw you. You were there. You're one of them. You speak like them." "No, no, no, I'm not." And then she goes away and comes back. Okay? "Yes, you were there." And, "No, no, 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 no." And he kind of gets excited and probably says a curse word or two. Who knows? And she goes away, but he's staying there in the fire. So the fire lights up his face. She comes back and says, this is that incident. And she said, "You were there." Well, let's read what the Bible says happened. And immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. That's not all. The prophecy that Yeshua had made maybe an hour earlier, here it is, come to pass. But it's not over. Verse 61, like Isaiah 61, "Arise and shine, for your light has come." I'm reading the TLV. This is what it says. "And the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter." We have a word in English for that: beheld. We shall behold him. I have a message. We shall behold him face to face in all of his glory. That's that word. The Lord beheld Peter. He looked at him straight on him. The writer is Luke. He wasn't there. But he got the information straight. Probably from Peter, because he was there. In some ways, John was there too, right? Because John writes these events as well. Anyway, then Peter remembered the word of the Lord. not when the rooster crowed, when Yeshua beheld him. How he had told him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. The last verse is significant. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I've preached before and asked the question, what did he see? What kind of look did he get? Time to play a song. The look of love is in your eyes. I have all kinds of things that I can do to jazz it up. Peter went and wept bitterly. He didn't go take his life. He didn't go despair. Why? I would have. I just got found out. I just got proven to be a traitor of the first kind. I would go and cry, yes. And I would be very upset. But in between this, the Messiah beholds him. The Messiah looks at him with the eyes that only Yeshua could do, the eyes of Adonai that run to and fro throughout the earth. The eyes of Yeshua intently look at Peter. It says so. I'm not making this up. What did Peter see? He didn't see anything new. He had already been beholding the Lord all around, all this time, for about a year and a half. Some people say three, whatever. He'd been around. He'd seen the look, that look. That look of Yeshua is the look of love, like the song. Yeshua loved him. That's what makes Yeshua different than me. If you had abandoned me, if you have stabbed me in the back, I would have worn such a you stinking double crosser you. No, I'd have a lot more than that. And I might even go back to being Puerto Rican, growing up in the streets of Puerto Rico, and have a lot to say. Not I love you. I ain't saying that. You come over here, let me give you my love. Bam! Bam! That's not what happened. That's what sets the Son of God apart from every one of us. Because he loved his enemies. And I'm not known for loving any enemies of mine. Look, I try. I hear what the Bible says and I want to do it. But in the heat of the moment, I want to give you a piece of cake, a piece of my mind. I just tell you to your face, you're just a stinking double crosser. I cannot fathom. I looked that word up because it came to my mind and said, I better make sure that it's the right word. I cannot fathom how he felt at that moment. When Yeshua turned and looked straight at him, there is someone standing beside you. Turn around, look at me. Not only did Peter realize the failure, he remembered what the Lord said. He didn't remember when the rooster crowed. He remembered after Yeshua looked at him. And when the look of love came, he was essentially naked. He was left with nothing. There's no excuses. There's nothing to hide what's going on right now. At the very moment that he realizes his failure, he's also receiving the look of love from the Messiah. I can't accept that. We also fail. We have also failed him. So maybe not you, the saints, just the rabbi. I'm the only one that's failed him. When I failed him, and I realized that I failed him, that I said, like Peter, oh no, I'm etc., and I failed. Failed miserably. What I want to do is what Judas. He also ran away. He also experienced remorse. He also took the money and threw it at them and said, here, you keep the money. But he didn't have the look of love. Do you think that when you fail him, you would be any different? Won't he just at that moment look at you and tell you, I love you? If you realize that, there's no fighting over getting on your knees and saying to the Lord, it's the same old song. I was here yesterday. You know, like, here I am again. I'm not here I am again like the song, worshiping the Lord. Here I am again. I failed again. The same thing. The same way even. And what happens is, if you get the flesh get in the way, it's going to drive you to go and hide. It's going to drive you to say, I am good for nothing. I'm worth nothing. I'm just a stinking double crosser. But when the look of love comes, when you experience the look of love of the Messiah, you can't. Because you realize, he just forgave me. Amazing. If you don't see it at that moment, then you will run in despair. Well, Peter doesn't get to see the Lord again. As far as he's concerned, he's dead. He's in the grave. From that point on, 3 days and three nights he'll be in the grave, in the earth. I can only imagine the emptiness in Peter's soul. Because then there's another 10 over there when they're meeting. There's always a smart aleck in the crowd, 10 men. Guarantee you one of them is saying, Peter, he's coming back. Yeah, right. How many have come back? Peter, it's time to get your faith. Peter, he predicted that this would happen. All of those things are being said. Me, not Peter, me, in the midst of that, is like, nah. I messed up this time, big time. I did it in his face. I might as well spit at his face. Maybe you don't feel like that. Again, it's hard to teach the saints, because they're saints. As far as I'm concerned, there was no consolation in the small talk. There's no consolation in remembering all the words and utterances when he said when he was alive. That's great. He said that when he was alive. He's not alive right now. And it's about the third day. I mean, has anybody walked out? Well, actually, he should remember Lazarus, right? Lazarus was stinking rotten when Yeshua resurrected him. But I'm just saying, for me, it's not a lot that you can say to me. And what is everybody doing? Oh, we're in the middle of the temple praising the Lord. Heck no, we're in this place. The doors are closed because none of us are getting out there just in case they decide to follow that little girl's advice and say, you were with them, therefore it's your turn to go on the cross. And they're not ready for no cross. They're frightful. That's an understatement. But not until the sunset of Shabbat. And at the sunset of Shabbat, the prophecy is fulfilled. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The sunset of Shabbat is no longer Shabbat. It's the first day of the week. John 20:19. And on that first day of the week, according to John 20:19, the resurrected Yeshua shows up in the middle of that place. Nobody opened the door. He didn't knock on the door. He came through the door. Like Casper, the friendly ghost. He's right there. What is the word? What did he choose to be the greeting? Shalom Alechem. Malachei Hasharet. Malachei Elyon. Shalom Alechem. Shalom, peace be unto you. That's how it's translated in English. In conclusion, when we mess up, when we know better, when we understand everything, and go ahead and sin anyway, and ruin our lives, thank God for the resurrection. Because that's when the resurrection kicks in. When the resurrection kicked in, we are given another chance. Because Yeshua is the Lord of a second chance. This is what Peter experienced. But fortunately, the same power is available to us today. The Apostle Paul said that the same Holy Spirit that raised Yeshua from the dead is here to raise us up as well. Wait a minute, Rabbi. Is Yeshua really the Lord of a second chance? How often can we sin and be forgiven? How are you going to answer from Matthew 18, right? 70 times 7. Or 70 to the 7th power. Or 70 to the 70th power. Whichever one's bigger, right? I think 77 to the 70th power is bigger. Yes. I wrote here, yes, Virginia. Yes, Virginia. 70 times 7. That's in the Bible. Matthew 18. Peter was devastated in his sin and the guilt, just like I would be. But notice the first message of the resurrection for Peter. Okay, show me, Rabbi. Here it is. Mark 16, verse 7 and 8. Talking to the people who discovered that he's resurrected, speaking to the angel. The angel says, go tell his disciples and Peter. He's going before you to the Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Go tell Peter. The heavenly angel, the heavenly Malachim, the heavenly messenger has a message for Peter specifically. I'll meet you in the Galilee. When they come in and say, he's resurrected, they're also going to say, come here, Pedro. Ven aquí, Pedro. The angel said to tell you specifically, I'll meet you in the Galilee. You want to meet me in the Galilee? He wants to see me. He sent a word just to me, yet to the other 10, but to me. I want to meet you there. What does that do to that man? I know what it would do to me. Oh my gosh. Being Peter, the one that gets up and does things in a hurry, he'd be like, brethren, you can stay in the hole if you want to, but I'm going to the Galilee. Right? Right? I mean, okay, only Sam and I would say, right, we're just going. Peter singled out. Evidently, Yeshua is not going to reject him. And in fact, he's not angry at all. He didn't say, I'll meet you there so that I can tell you a few things. Nothing, just I'll meet you there. Now the opposite comes in. I don't know if I'm ready to meet him. I don't know if I'm ready to see his face. I don't know if I have the chutzpah to do that. But I remember the look. I remember the look. And the look said, I love you. And now he's resurrected. And he's still sending me a message. Man, I'm going. Amazing. Yeshua sends words to the disciple that he's coming to see them in the Galilee and singles Peter the traitor. That's Tony putting. Because if it had been me, it would have been Tony the traitor, not Tony the tiger. Starts with a T also, but Tony the traitor. Saying in effect, Peter, I want to see you. Today is post the resurrection. The resurrection happened already. We can choose to forgive. If we choose to forgive our debtors, the scripture says we will be equally forgiven. Because, my friends, that's the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection gave Peter a second chance to get it right. And it gave you and I a chance to get it right. We have the same thing available to us. Even if we fail 1,000 times, like the song, 1,000 times I fail, till your mercy remains. The thought of losing myself in giving you praise everlasting. As for me, I'm taking full advantage of any second chances I get. In Yeshua's name, amen. Please stand. I want to thank you for giving me the extra 20 minutes to do this.